afternoon.
See the West Link.
That is the horniest what? Thing I've ever heard.
Come on.
Marvin, bring daddy some of those chicken waffles.
Mr. Potter.
I feel gushy.
This is unbelievable.
This is absolute chaos.
Sippers, welcome to this episode of the Tea With Me podcast with, as always, me, Shane Todd. Huge episode of the pod this week. A guest I've wanted on for a long time. We've got him. It was a great time. We've already recorded the time I'm recording this introduction. So the hard work's done. All I've got to do is tell you a couple of very quick things. One is, why are you not an official Sipper on Patreon? You've had lots of chances. I've told you about it a lot. I'll take 1 minute to tell you about it right now. Patreon.com/TeamMePodcast. Bonus episodes on a Monday. Yes, they don't go public. Live stream on a Friday. We get to ask questions, showing in with the chat. Your favorite Tea With Me guests. Actually live. Yes. Exclusive tickets to Tea With Me events, like when we did the SSE Arena. Do you remember? Like whenever we did Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Well, we couldn't officially call it that because we were just fully ripping off the concept. Whenever we put our stars in your eyes. Tickets, which are sold out at Christmas this year in the limelight. We put everything goes through Patreon first. So if you enjoy the podcast, you want to be an official sipper, you can do it from as little as £3 a month and you get all of that. Patreon.com/TeaWithMePodcast. Become an official sipper today. We are sponsored by none other than NordVPN. Dan, you think I'm sure for Nordic?
Not sure. Potentially.
Is anyone sure? VPN is a virtual private network. Dan, can you look that up and see whether NordVPN have any Nordic links? Thank you. It's a tool, a virtual private network. But just in case you don't. It's a tool that safeguards your internet connection and enhances your privacy online. It establishes a secure and encrypted pathway for your online traffic. This tunnel is impenetrable, ensuring that no one can snoop on your internet activities. Snoop's a funny word, isn't it? Snoop on your internet activities. Access your personal data, oh Jesus, or determine your actual IP address and geographical location. Let me tell you this, once somebody bought a USB lead in Dusseldorf in Germany using my stolen bank details. Yeah, I know. You can use, for example, I use NordVPN when I'm on tour, like I am right now. To keep a safe and secure connection to public and hotel Wi-Fi. I don't want them to know that I'm doing a network game of Football Manager and I'm trying to take Kidderminster Harriers all the way to the Champions League. You can get an exclusive NordVPN deal and find out more about it by going to nordvpn.com/teawithme to get a huge discount in capitals off your NordVPN plan. Every purchase of the 2-year plan will receive a 4-month bonus on top. Dan, do we find out anything about the Nordic links of NordVPN?
Nothing conclusive.
They're not saying?
There's some rumours, but that's all.
Could be anything. Before we get into this episode, I am on tour. I'm doing stand-up absolutely everywhere. I don't know where I've already been, but I'm doing America, Canada, Dubai, Australia. We might at this point still have Scotland coming up, run at the Opera House in Belfast. For all of it, ShaneTodComedy.com. I don't know where I'm coming or going. Manscaped. Manscaped are the number one in men's below the belt grooming. You know? Did I think the ads were done? Yes. Do we have time to re-record? We don't. We physically don't. Manscaped are, you know by now, these guys are numero uno in the men's below the belt grooming game, to the point where I don't know any other men's below the belt grooming companies. There isn't. There isn't any. They're like, what's an example of like, it's just one thing, is the thing. Pritstick. Pritstick. Pritstick isn't a product, it's a brand. Do you know any other brands with stick glue?
No.
Neither do I. That's because Pritstick have it sewn up, but they aren't sponsoring this episode. Whatever you do, don't use Pritstick to remove your pubic hair. Use the Lawnmower 4.0 from Manscaped also.
Coming soon.
Coming soon. I don't know if we can say this, right? But Well, in fact, we're definitely not allowed to say this, and I definitely won't say anything here. You know, Manscaped brought out the lawnmower. Then they brought out the lawnmower 2.0. Then the 3.0. Now there's the 4.0. We're hearing unconfirmed reports that next up, Manscaped very soon will be bringing out the lawnmower 5.0. That is from the horse's mouth itself. They have everything, especially if, like me, you're on tour at the minute. In front of your ad read, plugging my tour dates. I didn't mean to do that, but as I said, I don't have time to re-record. Let me off with it this once. I'll send you some of my pubic hair. You can use it for experiments or whatever it is you like doing, or putting them up on your wall, because I know you just love pubes. But I'll say this. What was I saying?
Manscaped, tea with me, 20% off.
Yeah, but tea with me, 20% off. You just go tea with me for 20% off, free shipping. I was saying that, but before that, I was making a point saying...
Pritstick.
Something about Pritstick. Manscaped, the Pritstick of the dick and balls game. My guest this week is Nico Vanderhorst. Nico Vanderhorst. How international is this podcast getting with guests like Nico Vanderhorst? You know Nico with his YouTube page, which is Nico Leonard, but it's not doing him any disrespect to just call him the watch guy, because as we talk about in this episode, that's where he's got to in the watch game. He literally is the watch guy. He's the guy who talks about watches. And he doesn't just do it in a way that... I'm sure there've been watch guys in the past, but I'm sure they're in, you know, they're in suits from Burton, you know, or they're and they have no chat. Nico has changed the watch game. He's got something like, I don't know, like magnetic about him. I don't know. He's just a brilliant presenter of his content, and he makes even like people like me, who admittedly are not into watches at all. He makes me interested in watches just to see what he's going to say about a watch. I think he was pretty impressed by my collection, though. Pretty impressed. And look, we're recording this intro a different day to the episode, but don't think I'm not rocking a drip here with a Casio F91W. Nico's absolutely brilliant. It was a pleasure having him in. I'm a big fan. This guy's blowing up everywhere. Please enjoy this episode of the Tea With Me podcast with first-time guest, hopefully he'll be in again, Nico. Let me ask you this. Do you always now get people coming up to you being like, oh, rate my watch? And that, is that the first thing people say to you? Like, what do you think of this?
That happens often, yes. That happens often.
So, what do you think of, like, some of these? So I have...
God damn, motherfucker.
So, right, let me show you here. We've got, oh, God. Now, not all these.
F91W, 2100. That's the grey one.
Okay. So, these I wear for stand-up.
Yeah.
Because the stopwatch on them are brilliant.
All right.
And they're nice and subtle. You don't really know they're on. So, I have those in three colours.
Aye.
Right. And that see-through one's my favourite. That grey one right there.
I gave Colin several of these black ones. Did he give one to you?
That's one of them.
Yeah.
And he gave me this. He gave me this too.
Oh yeah, fair enough.
He gave me this G-Shock.
I gave Colin a fuck ton of these watches.
Yeah, and then they actually sold this to me.
Oh, nah,
he didn't.
Bastard.
And then this Acuras one here, I got an Argos for £9.
That is levels, mate.
I'll go top level for a watch, £25-30. if something caught my eye and it was 40, I'd do it for like a birthday or something.
It needs to be a special occasion, though.
Yeah. Oh! So, this is my favourite watch.
Is that a fake AP?
Yeah, I bought that for a sketch, right? So, but I don't wear it because I'm scared that someone's going to rob me for it, even though it's fake. I'm like, it's cost me £70 for a
prop. That's the excuse a lot of people make, right? Go in London and I'm wearing a fake watch because I don't want to be robbed or stabbed. And I'm like, mate, now you get stabbed for a fake watch.
Yeah.
You're more of a loser, like, I mean.
Now, this is controversial here, right? That, by the way, how can you tell straight away that's fake? Is it because I'm wearing it? Be honest.
There's many tells, and one of them is you wear it.
It's like when any guy in Belfast is wearing Canada Goose, you're like, man, come on. So that, I bought this to do a sketch, and then when I took it to the watch repair guy across the road,
yeah,
he's like a real old guy, like real nice, he's beside the barbers I go to, he was like, straight away he goes, this is fake. And I immediately started to sweat. And I said, it's my da's. So I just dropped my da in it. I was like, if anyone's going down for this, it's my da. But then, this one I bought for the live podcast at SSE we did, because purple is like the color of the podcast and everybody hates it. Everyone hates that watch.
Yeah.
You hate it?
I like it.
Good, thank
you. Suits you well.
Yeah.
You like the black one?
That's probably my favorite watch, that black nice G-Shock. Watch. I like G-Shocks.
Yeah. God dear.
You like my collection?
I like your collection. And I'm glad that I've contributed in some way, shape, or form.
You have.
Something that I have no idea about. Yeah. Thank you, Colin. Appreciate that.
Those Casios are the best. What was the first... sorry if you've been asked this question a million times. What was the first watch you ever owned, like even as a kid?
It was an Ajax watch. It was a red watch. I still have it. I have it here in Belfast, funnily enough, in my house. Never wear it because it's this big.
Right.
And I need to replace the battery. It was just a red watch with an Ajax logo. At the moment, I wouldn't wear that proudly, to be honest, but that's a different story. Yeah. Fuck me, losing against Brighton, mate. That is just a joke.
I remember I got a WCW wrestling watch from my mum and I had to pretend to like it, but I was never into WCW. It put me off watches for years. Years.
That is mad.
We met probably, I'm going to say like 8 years ago or something.
Yeah.
When I was getting, I was getting a suit from Chris Suter.
Yeah.
And you were in the shop and he introduced me to you and he's like, I think you just moved over here.
No, I lived in Northern Ireland before I started my business, 4 or 5 years already.
Okay.
But I just started my business, I remember that. Because Chris's shop was my shop.
Yeah.
Without him knowing that, but I was just there every day to meet people.
But I remember, like, it stuck in my mind meeting you. I was like, oh, you're not someone you would forget meeting. Even we just had a 10-minute chat, and you were so, like, full of chat, and, like, I think you just started the business. You were excited to, like, tell me about that, and... Maybe if part of your head was like, this guy might buy a watch in future, that's when you got wrong. But, you know.
So was I.
I'm always just, I go to sort by price and then I'm like, whoa. Was that the first thing you did when you came?
Yeah.
Was watches like the first thing when you came here? You were
no,
like,
I came here in Northern Ireland to work for, no, I came here then to play football and then I... lost that very quickly due to an injury. I broke my ankle and then I worked for a call centre here in Northern Ireland.
We were just talking about what the highest floor you think you could jump out of in event of a fire would be. And I think I could comfortably jump out of a third floor window.
Yeah.
But then they think that's mental. What's the highest floor you think you could jump out of?
Probably the first before I caught some earthquake here in Hollywood. Like.
But you don't think you could survive? You think... I mean survive, I don't just mean...
Oh, survive, oh, fuck it. I'll climb up the roof.
We can test this out for Patreon content.
I have airbags around me, mate. A lot of airbags.
So when you came over here, so it wasn't you came over here and were like, watch... So it wasn't like watches was like not your passion, but it wasn't your thing. You're like, this is what I'm going to do. This is going to be my business.
No, it wasn't very clear for me. Like watches was always my obsession when I was a kid, right? Fixing watches, taking watches apart. If I was good at it, yes or no. Not really, but I always enjoyed it from when I was a kid. And I never thought that it would be possible for me to make a living out of it, to be honest. Because I never really had money. I don't really come from a background where money was a given. So I just gave up on that idea. But whenever I moved to Northern Ireland, I needed a job. So I started working in a call center. I started fixing watches and helped out.
Inbound or outbound?
I think it was Apple customer service, and I was fired off that in 3 weeks.
For? Yeah.
I don't know, gross misconduct or whatever.
Quite a serious one.
Bit of a serious one. I don't know. I think I started shouting at managers that were incapable. You know what I mean? Right.
I couldn't see you having a boss. You know what I mean? You don't strike me as that guy who would enjoy having a boss.
Nah,
I'm probably the same. Like
I think I have just issues with authority, and definitely when the authority, like when there's authority and there's authority and there's authority, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You have someone that doesn't have a clue what the hell he's talking about, and there's someone that, yeah, never mind.
Yeah.
So I would know that quite well, but in this case, it was a dead end job, mate.
Yeah, yeah. And people, I did it for years.
Did you?
Yeah, working call center, and it was one of those things.
Was it
things,
Concentrics? Was it not?
No. There was one in Hollywood, like a smaller one, but it was always, and I worked out, everybody was kind of like this. It was like, I'll do this for a couple of months, and then I'll move on.
Yeah.
But I was there for like 2 years. And I could easily, I think, have always just done that job. I've been saying that, like, I'm getting out. They're like, you've been here for 17 years, you know.
Wake up.
There's people, I think, that are either in that job just for, like, quick fix, or people that are in it for life. And it's so tough, like, just repeating the same thing on the phones, wearing that headset.
It was brutal. I wanted to do something and figure out a way to do things better, and they weren't having that.
Yeah,
I think I just lost my shit.
You were trying to do things better for Apple, so you were like, listen, fuck this iPhone. I could design
exactly
a better iPhone.
I think it was a system that I tried to make, an application that I tried to make where the call center team would be able easier to spot what a product it is.
Right.
So, or what different products there are in a product range.
Yeah.
And in 2 weeks, I was fired after 4 weeks, I think, or 3 or 4 weeks.
Right.
I was like, fucking hell.
But on the side, you were fixing watches?
Yes. Yeah.
But just at, like, for yourself?
You know, yeah, to make a few quid, and put advertisements.
How do you do that? How do you go about marketing
that? I fix you a watch or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just Gumtree and Facebook Marketplace and stuff. And then I made a bit of battery change. A battery cost me. I bought a bulk of batteries for £2. And there was like 10 or 20 batteries in there. It was in a paper envelope. And then I sold them for £5 each.
Right.
So I was hustling. Like, I mean, it was cool shit.
But at what point do you start to go, this is maybe a career? As opposed to...
I've never really thought that it would be a career. Not at that point in any way, shape or form. I moved to another job, MRP, Market Research, whatever.
People,
yeah, things.
What else?
Another call center job, right? Was fired there as well. That was different.
Gross misconduct.
Gross misconduct. I forgot to put my trousers on that day. and then I had a job in Dublin for Vodafone, starting at the call center.
Right.
And I think that when I started to make some money at Vodafone, and the guys at Vodafone were amazing, and they let me work at my strength, and they just let me be. I've worked there for 3 years, and after year two, I started to make some money. I made a promotion, and I was like, and now I can actually start thinking about a future and start buying a watch and maybe sell a watch.
Because it's very easy once you start like a promotion, start making better money.
Yeah,
it's then easy to just stay in that job. And then the side hustle or the hobby just kind of gets pushed to one side.
I think if the changes that didn't... There were a lot of changes within Vodafone, including management. And I think if that didn't change, I wouldn't have made that move.
Because
I was all of a sudden put under pressure with a new manager and new people. And all of a sudden, it was just a shit show, basically.
What was the first watch you sold?
I think really it was a Tudor Pelagos. But to make the story better, it wasn't Breitling Navy Timer because that was Tom Cannon.
Right.
But that was 2 days after. Yeah. But I'd rather do that.
What profit did you make on the first watch sold?
I think it was £150.
Oh, okay.
This is big stuff.
Because those videos, like, I'm as you can see by the watches I have, I'm not a watch guy. I like functional for stand-up, or I kind of like
you
those
G-Shock
watches.
You should wear a nice watch. You know, so many comedians, all the comedians that I know wear nice watches, bar the people in Northern Ireland.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But comedians in Northern Ireland, all the comedians I know wear nice watches.
But
is it like trying to be humble? Or
I think so. I think it's a thing here where, like, you don't want to... I would feel, maybe uncomfortable at having something expensive. I don't like this, like, even, like, clothes or anything like that. Like, I love clothes, right? But I don't like the... buy really expensive clothes. I just feel I can't justify that to myself. Yeah. And it's
but
maybe the same
hard.
Watches. Yeah, yeah.
Jesus,
but
you work hard. You're on tour there, then you do. But you're always working. Why do you not deserve that?
I don't know. I just, like, here's my thinking. The watches I wear for stand-up, I do stand-up so much that it's very rare I'm, like, maybe having a day that isn't work. I don't know. I like the idea of, like, a nice watch, but I don't know how comfortable I'd feel wearing it. But maybe that's a thing from here. That's maybe an attitude indicative of being from here. Maybe. Where it's like, I don't want anyone to think I'm trying to look flash or that's not my nature to feel.
This is what I love about Northern Ireland, right? I'm quite prone to lose my head and be not with 2 feet in the ground.
Yeah.
And then I come home here. And I was like, oh, fuck, I'm back.
Right.
People put you back back where you belong really quickly. Yeah. I love that. This is why I want to raise my kids here.
Yeah.
It's because...
yeah, you don't get above your station.
Exactly.
Really.
But I love this place because of that.
But you're right. Like, that's something I notice when I travel with stand-up, even, like, fashion, what people are wearing. When I gig in L.A., I've not done it much, but the times I've done
you gigged in L.A.
Yeah.
And you're still... bloody like, do I deserve that? Fuck off.
No, but if you look at the way comedians are dressed, they're wearing these, it's all about like, and they're great comedians too, don't get me wrong, but they have these like, these fancy jackets on and these amazing shoes. And I think here we're more just like, I don't know, we're not as big on the presentation.
Right.
And it's more about the stand-up.
Listen, whatever floats your boat, whatever you feel comfortable with, but like, I mean, whenever you gig in L.A., yeah, I mean, that's a big fucking thing. Like, how many people were there?
I did the Comedy Store to about 90 people. It's just one of the small rooms there. And when I did my tour show, it was like 50. But that's all the room held. It wasn't like in the arena.
Mad. But that is mad, mate. That's the other side of the world.
Yeah,
Joe.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that is crazy. Fucking yeah. Fair play. Well done.
Yeah. But do you notice that here with like, would it be easier for you to sell watches in New York or in London?
I would be significantly more successful if I would. So, now let me explain, right? I need to explain this. Right. If I started my business in any other country, I wouldn't have survived.
Right.
Because the support I've received here was massive.
Yeah. Right? Through like what? Literally word of mouth.
Chris Suter opening the doors, allowing me to meet first customers, the trust I've gained. Like, I'm a foreigner in a country that isn't mine. I'm selling a £10,000 Rolex out of the boot of my car.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just a different looking man, you know? Yeah. You see what I mean? Like, the trust I've received, like, that is just insane.
Yeah.
And I've said this before. I just wanted good, but... Jesus, if I had bad intentions, this is the place you should start.
Yeah.
I mean, people were very gullible, but it was, no, I don't mean that in a bad way, you see what I mean? Like, I'm glad because it gave me a life. It
yes,
gave me,
you're right,
and,
you're right.
And now we employ a lot of people because of that, and we add value, and we do a lot with charity stuff. So, I mean, I want to give back in that way, but like, without that trust that I've gotten, that I would absolutely not have received in any other country, I wouldn't be here today. Now, stage two is, would I be more successful if I have my business in a different country? If I have my business in California, I probably tenfold my revenue.
Right.
Tenfold.
Right.
And we've conversations about that. And it is something that I don't want to commit to because this is where I want to be. This is where I want to raise my kids.
That's exactly the same with stand-up. Like, we have a great, such a good pound for pound, the stand-up scene here is one of the best anywhere. I know it sounds mental, but it really is, in terms of the way, exactly what you're talking about, the way people support their own. Aye. And come to the arenas, because you go to anywhere else, they want the traveling comedians, they want the international comedians, and we want that here, but side by side with the local acts. So I could, if you're busy gigging here, you're maybe gigging 3 times a week, 4 times a week. If I was in New York, I could do that a night, you know, but...
That's crazy.
But it's not here. There's no... And people, like, when I started stand-up maybe full-time, people are like, are you going to move to London? Are you going to do this or that? But, like, it's just... It has never been an option for me, no matter how well I'm doing that. It's never... The travel's great, get to see other places, but, like, it's...
What is the place that closest resembles home? Outside of home?
Those working class industrial cities in England, like Liverpool, Manchester, Glasgow, Newcastle, and then when you properly go away, like Canada, I found, like Toronto.
That is literally on my bucket list. I want to go to Canada.
You never been?
Never been.
Come to Toronto,
mate. I'm in. Like, I have been all over the world, and for some reason, Canada. Do you know that Canada is it our third or fourth largest country?
I wouldn't know anything.
I'm like, no, like for us, for our channel and stuff.
Oh, I definitely wouldn't know that. Where's your biggest online when you look at the
US?
Okay.
Oh, like US is. Oh, hello. Does the mic work on this side as well? Yeah.
I don't know. I I don't know.
US is the biggest. We're 40%.
And where? What's like? What's the place that being big and it gives you the most like satisfaction or
New York?
Being, right.
I fucking love New York.
I mean, like the stuff that comes up on my TikTok, just because I watched probably 30 seconds of it once, is, and I'm sure there's millions of guys like this, a guy who will buy a watch in New York go and flip it on the same day. There's probably millions of these guys on TikTok, but there's one particular guy who pops up for me and I get really like, I'm so into it. Like, you know what I mean? I'm invested in it. Is there like the way New York and LA would be like the comedy capitals of the world? What's the watch capital?
These videos that you often see, they're 99% fake. So sorry to break your heart there.
This is Santa all over video. Again.
This is what happens when you run around in New York and you see this stuff happening.
Yeah. I'm a big wrestling fan as well, by the way. So.
Yeah, that's fake. Yeah, sorry. I won't. You know that Santa Claus? Never mind. He's not real either, you know.
So what are they sent? So they've worked out a thing with the guy beforehand. They're not really buying it, or what?
Either they're not really buying it. There was one occasion where there was a watch in.
Damn it.
Miami show, there was some fake negotiation. Remember that, Johnny? And that was a bloody watch that I bought. And I mean, that was 500, that was $400K. I didn't buy that, bought that for a client of mine. And you saw this fake negotiation video about that particular watch. But
holy,
it was so rare that it was the only one there.
Yeah.
And I was raging when I saw that. Because basically what happens then is someone is burning down a watch with value, you see what I mean? Because I had that watch already sold to a client of mine. You see, and with a fair, our margins are vary from 7 to 12%.
Yeah.
Because it's such a large amount, there's also a large amount of risk. And these guys, luckily, they negotiated. Or the fake negotiation was about 150 grand above what the normal price was, or what the price that I sold it at. But it is just stunning. It's just amazes me that stuff is
it's an industry that like you like the way you can spot a fake straight away, or you can obviously do that with a video too.
yeah but that's just because this is my life, right?
Same as
comedy is for you know, a bad comedian from a good comedian. No?
yeah what was your first, like, when you got into the game, what was your first like loss, or like not just maybe financially, what was first, or maybe you got burnt, you know, with something?
I've made some big losses. Like, this is the thing in the industry, right? People think, like, I live a good life, right? I live a very good life. Financially, very, very fortunate. But people think that is because of the watch industry. If I wanted to make money, I wouldn't do the watch trade. I wouldn't start a watch business in any way, shape, or form. Because that is just...
But are you saying that in case there's other people wanting to do it and you're like...
True, got me there. No, genuinely. Because the margin, definitely,
right.
Because we're pre-owned dealers, our margin is between 7 and 12%. And definitely with an extreme overhead that we have now, I would do that different. But our vision is not transactional profit. Our vision is a value in equity.
Yep.
So reputation and becoming authorized dealers and being the first one to ever do what we've done, which we are. Currently, yep. Already, we are at a certain point where no one has done that before, which is amazing. But the biggest losses I made, that was COVID, mate. That was bizarre. So I started my business with €20,000 loan from AIB, right? And funny enough, last month I paid that off.
Right.
That was a special moment, right?
Yeah.
I could have paid that off fucking years ago, but that's not the point, right? That's not the point, right? The point is that we've done that amazing, right? And...
Oh, relax.
Christ.
Jesus. There's ghosts in his house.
I would love to have the reference of, like, a rival guy who posts watch stuff and be like, that's the spirit of that guy, but I don't know anybody else apart from you. I wish I had a reference there.
But no,
Mr. Cassio, I'm so sorry. I don't know.
It's Hublot.
Yeah.
COVID, mate. My last hand over fist there. Right. So I saved up to about a stock value of about £400,000 in 2.5 years, which was great. And then I had the COVID hit. First of all, hospitality was closing. Restaurants and hotels, the merchant where my shop was based, was closing. Retail wasn't closed at the time, but my shop, my retail location was in a hotel.
Right.
And therefore, my shop wasn't accessible. And therefore, I had to pay two staff, and then I had to pay them first. So that was the key. So I liquidated my entire stock, half the stock, so I could pay my staff for at least 9 months. A week later, furlough was announced. I was a bit of a... I'm very grateful for that, by the way.
Yeah.
But they could have waited. They could have been a week earlier, right? I've lost about 150 to 200 grand there.
Huh.
And that was a bit of a tricky one. And whenever, so. Yeah,
bit of a tricky one. That's not how I describe losing 200 grand.
Mate,
it's a minimum of shit one. Minimum.
Oh, let's put it this way: I slept a whole lot. No, never mind. How do you say that? Me no speak English. I couldn't sleep for fucking weeks, mate.
Right.
That was bizarre. But after that, watch prices went up and up and up and up and up.
Was that, do you think a lot of people took up that hobby as like someone who would want to buy one or start a collection in COVID?
There was people, watches are investments became mainstream.
Right.
And it wasn't mainstream before. It became proper mainstream, so everyone bought Rolex, right?
Wait until in 20 years when I give my son that G-Shock.
Exactly. I mean, inflation will help a wee bit. Probably 400% profit.
His face when I show him, I'm like, I kept the watch.
Show him this video
years.
As well.
Yeah.
Your dash cheap.
They're functional watches. Yeah, I mean,
he doesn't think you deserve a nice watch.
I do. That one's real. It seemed like about 4 or 5 years. It might have actually been coming out of COVID when someone like me started hearing way more about watches and people talking about their not just having a watch but their collection and having more and more. Is it that before that it seemed like people would always just jump to like Rolex. I want to have a Rolex instead of like a nice watch.
But Rolex was more often seen as an achievement rather than a timekeeping device or a watch. And that is something that for me, it also started for me. Like I've always wanted a Rolex. And when I was 16 years old in Marbella, you wear a fake watch because it filled in some form of insecurity, which is the reality. It was
turns your wrist green though. Nightmare. I bought a Nike ring once. And I was like, this is the ladies back home. We're going to love that. I was like 13. I was like...
You bought a fake Nike ring.
A fake Nike ring, yeah. It was... It might have actually been a thumb ring. It was black with the silver Nike tick in it. And I was like, this is what's missing from my life.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I'm sweet after this. And I had the fake Oakleys on and everything. But I once bought a fake Barcelona shirt on holiday. It might have been like Messi's breakthrough season. And I thought I was the man come back with it. And I was like, I don't want anyone to think I'm a faker. It was a pretty legitimate shirt. But on the back, it was just like an entirely different squad number. People were like, he's not 87. You know what I mean? Like, he's never that. A Messi with a Y. I love all the fake gear on holiday.
Yeah?
I bought... Last time I was in Mallorca, I found a wee shop. €5 fake Ray-Bans. I cleaned up.
Cleaned up. Resold them in Belfast.
Yeah.
Went to Newcastle, the beach there. Yeah. Started selling them.
But yeah, I know what you mean. Like when you're younger and you see the fake 100%. Watches on the beach or whatever, you're like, people will think this thing of me if I have this or if I wear this.
Because in Marbella in particular, I fucking hate that place. No offense. It's horrible.
I've just gone into business with Wayne Lineker, so I'm kind of pissed that you'd say that.
All right, no worries.
I haven't really.
It's a shithole. It's a shithole, right? I'm getting killed now by some fucking gang, I swear.
Wayne?
Maybe.
I don't know what that's his place.
You have this. 99% of the watches that people wear in fucking Marbella are fake.
Right.
And for the same reason, they say, I don't want to be stabbed with a stolen watch and my watch is stolen.
But your logic's right in that you're still going to get stabbed.
Yeah. But now for a fake watch.
Yeah.
Nah, like, I mean, then do it the right way, right? Do it the real way. But it's a load of bollocks, right? You go to the clubs and stuff in Marbella, and 99% wear fake watches because they're in this pressure environment that they have to be someone that they're not. And I have been in that scenario. I've been in that situation, and I thought it filled in a gap that is very, it's not something I would, like, would recommend for anyone. But
it's almost like a thing where people, it is pressurized, where, like, people are maybe thinking, you know, if my boss sees me wearing this, you know,
he thinks he'd make more money.
I'm a certain kind of guy if I wear this watch.
To be fair, in meetings, right, it helped me from time to time to wear a nice watch or a good watch, because although this isn't, I'm not saying this is good, but this is the reality. I'm just saying it the way it is, right? Whenever I have a meeting and I wear a nice watch, the other side of the table knows that I'm wearing a Rolex or no.
Yeah.
That meeting starts completely different.
Yeah.
That meeting starts completely different than when you have
a
Casio. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah. Nothing wrong. But it is a reality, right? And I've noticed that throughout the years. And it is also a point of talk because this is a real man's accessory. So if you have another watch enthusiast on the other side of the table, that's the best icebreaker in the world.
Yeah,
because the first 30 minutes of your meeting, you're talking about watches.
Yeah.
And the deal becomes less relevant, and you get what you want usually. Now, this is not a sales pitch, but this is what I've experienced for myself out of the last 10 years.
But is your head not, like, wrecked by being out and just look, like, is the first thing you look at someone their watch?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But surely, like, when you see, like, maybe watches that aren't real and that kind of thing, is that the first thing you're looking for? Is that the first thing? Is that watch real or not?
It's just when I'm in Marbella, or when I go to Marbella, where I've been twice this year for other stuff. Sounds bad. You guys are just annoying. Like, come on. I had to pick up a car. Right? This sounds even dodgy.
It's still
car shape.
Yeah,
whatever. I play golf.
Right.
I'm shite. Whatever.
What's wrong with Castlereagh Hills Golf Club?
It's too far. Don't know how to get there. But when I'm in Marbella in that environment, I just want to prove my... see, another fake, a fake. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
But when you're in New York or when you're in any other place, mate, I walk around in Orange County in California, mate.
Yeah.
I'm actually Risha Meal after Risha Meal after Risha Meal, and damn right, none of them are fake.
Yeah.
I was in Monterey, right?
Lovely spot.
Oh, Pebble Beach.
I went there as part of my honeymoon. It was great.
Did you?
Yep.
Mate, I've never seen anything like it.
Yep.
I mean, I'm not talking about the golf course, which was fantastic. I didn't play golf because it was car week. I'm at this event and I'm like, there's over 100 million worth of watches here.
Right.
Really? And I'm like, and the rarest stuff you never see.
Yep.
But America is way more open, way more.
Have you ever gone up to someone
that
you don't know and been like, can I buy a watch?
Yes, once.
How did that go down?
Yeah, didn't close the deal.
Okay.
Didn't close the deal. But this was in Goodwood when I saw someone wearing a vintage Daytona about a year and a half ago.
Right.
That was amazing, mate. This guy, bigger guy, like a wee bit bigger than me. Not tall, whatever, right? Yeah. Was wearing this tiny 37 millimeter, which is tiny, right? For a watch.
I know.
I swear, mate. Unbelievable watch, right? Paul Newman Daytona. I was like, I really want to buy that. And he's like, I really don't want to sell it. And I'm like, we just started talking for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And we're still in touch. What a great lad.
Okay.
Still hasn't sold me that fucking watch.
Yeah. Bastard. From when I met you to then started, like, you know, I think when you set up in the merchant, I was like, well, that's a prestigious thing. Business must be going good. And then it was really when I started seeing the online stuff, I was like, God, like, that is, just straight away, I was like, that's going to take off massively, because it felt so, like, authentic. You know, you see people be like, let's put a camera on this thing we're doing, and they're uncomfortable or they just don't know what the thing is, but it seems straight away you knew what your thing was. So you had no background in filming or, no. or, you know, talking to camera and that kind of thing?
No, never. No, for me, first of all, Bill Woolsey. I owe that man a lot. And he doesn't always get the credits he deserves, but he stood by and gave me the opportunity when I needed it.
Sorry, you're right. He doesn't get... I met Bill a few times, and he comes from a very working-class background.
Oh, yeah.
And now owns 73% of Belfast. Yeah.
But he doesn't get the credits he deserves. And I was just a young guy that, again, a foreigner. I feel more at home here than I feel at my birthplace. But he, without any background checks, we had a check. We just had a conversation. He's like, I want to give this guy a chance.
Now, if he knew about your gross negligence from all those other places.
From Concentric.
Gross misconduct, yeah.
He gave me an opportunity, and still today, sometimes for advice. Now, it doesn't happen very often. Maybe twice a year I call him at something, and I just want to, he's such a clever guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's worked his entire life so hard, and for that I have a lot of respect.
What was, when you moved into the shop and set up the shop, when you started doing the online stuff, did they happen at the same time?
Or no, not really, because the shop was, whenever I opened the shop cost me about 27 grand on top of my head to build that wee room, right? And then I didn't have money for watches because I sold a good few watches. So,
so the place looked class, but there's no products.
Exactly, no products. So I filled up the place with boxes of watches. Oh. And then I asked someone, can I sell your watch on consignment or something? Right. I tried to find a way to make that happen, right? Now, and then I built up my customer base, and I used Instagram, and I used every Tuesday we went on a live stream on Instagram called Watches and Bollocks, and it became a real thing. It was like 10 people watching, 20 people watching, and 50 people watching, and our first time in three digits. And I think we never got above like 110 or 120. But
and then it's probably the same with comedy where there's such a buzz when you the first time you see someone from maybe outside of here looking at it or being like, man, I love your stuff, and they're from even like Scotland or something. You're like, how do you know about me?
Exactly.
Like that's a big deal.
Exactly. But other than that, the online stuff really kicked off to survive, to have the business survive, because we were done, mate. The business was done. Sold half the stock, furlough was there. I don't know how long this was going to take. This was when Stephen joined the business in the heights of lockdown. He quit his full-time job, a very good job as one of the regional managers and sales managers from Goldsmiths.
Right.
The heights of lockdown.
Right.
Just because he thought that this was going to be a good thing.
And the what was the first time you put a video up where it took off, where you started to notice?
I think
it
was KSI's video. Did you do the editing that time? No, that was the very first one. That was the very first. So Johnny has been with me really from the start, right? First he worked for someone else, but he was still one of the editors. And then I took him on because he was good crack.
But this is like taking, so when you are reacting to celebrities' watch or watch collection, that seems like sort of thing conversations you'd be having anyway to friends or other people you work with. So it's really just putting the camera on that and capturing what you would be talking about in the office or the shop anyway.
It is really funny when I now watch one of the first videos we've done to where I am now. I am so much more outrageous than when I went viral.
Right,
I was actually really, do you not agree? Really calm and I said sometimes something a bit on the edge or close to it or remotely. I'm so much more extreme right now.
But that comes with, I think that could be similar to what I'm doing in that you get way more comfortable and you know yourself way better.
Aye.
You also, you're that little bit older as well. So you're like, you just know yourself better. That's the same with like,
you get more confidence.
I would have been really conscious about what I was talking about online, what I was saying in stand-up. And like, I'm by no means like near the edge with stand-up, but if there's a bit I have that I'm like, that could offend people or whatever, I will now probably find a way to do it. Instead of before, I was like, well, what if BBC don't want to work with me after this or something?
I saw, that is, we got at that point recently, right? Where it's like, what if this watch brand doesn't want to work? My agent, I was fired by my own agent.
Right.
Normally, you
doesn't
hire
normally
an agent.
Happen that way.
It normally happens the other way around, right? You see, I got fired by my own agent because I was like, holy fuck, we are not going to be conservative by... All right. Big Mike Obama. Doesn't matter, right?
But
Big Mike Obama.
Michael Obama.
It was about Michelle Obama being a man.
Right.
I swear. And I defended her. Right? She can't be a man, right?
I'm sure she appreciated that.
Yeah. Right. It was a bit outrageous. So I said, prove to the world, show us your... Anyway, right? So, yeah, this is getting a whole different level. Right. So my agent was, you can't do this. And I'm like, brands, and I work so hard with brands and this brands. And I'm like, no offense, I'll stop you there. I don't really care about brands. What we're doing here is adding value. And if a brand doesn't want to do anything, that's their problem.
Yeah.
We set the standard. That's what it is. But then you go back to that. You think, it's cool to say that in a group, but then you're going to doubt yourself.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but what if brands really don't want... You see what I mean? And it's like, we never started this in the first place to work with brands.
Yep.
If I need to worry about what other people think, what other businesses think, I just have to stop here.
And then you will become everybody else who's...
Exactly. Then I'll become a product of a system I don't want to be in the first place.
Yep. Yeah,
and we've had that conversation, and Johnny was like, and I was just like, I'm always the one to blame, right, for everything. No one agrees with me, weirdly. And I was like, Johnny, what do you think? And I was like, Stephen, what do you think? The whole team was like, what do you think? Nico, I think you're right. I was like, for the first time, I was fucking right.
Yeah,
you see what I mean? I was like, this feels good.
Yeah,
but now I decided to push ahead and.
And when you started, you know, reacting to famous people's watch collection, that kind of thing, who was the first person that ever, like, came back to you, whether it was directly or not? Or, like,
that was
he's seen this
Supercar Blondie.
I don't know.
No, me neither.
Right.
She's...
Supercar? Supercar?
Supercar Blondie. She's a YouTuber.
Right.
YouTuber from Australia. Lives in Dubai.
Okay.
Invited us over to review her collection. She had a lot of followers, like... couple of million, probably 6 or 7 million, and we just didn't even have 100,000 subscribers.
Right. So did you? So say KSI was the first one. Did you ever hear back? Like,
yeah. I speak not the last couple of months, but like we speak and I give him advice sometimes. Yeah.
So he was happy, you know.
Oh, he was happy. Yeah.
So what's the percentage of people that you do that are out of 10? How many people are like, man, I love this? Even though you could be roasting them and their watches and what they do, what out of 10, how many people are like, man, I love that? Like, it's
9.9 out of 10 were extremely happy.
Who didn't like it?
Bar 0.1%. I can't tell you who.
Could you give me a clue?
He's from Northern Ireland. And that's about it.
And he has a watch collection?
No, not really a collection. Here, I can't really call that a collection. On my phone goes, oh, to Stephen.
Take it.
Oh, anyway, I wanted to say Liverpool shite, but whatever.
So somebody from here, it doesn't matter.
We'll not go into that.
Who cares who it is? I'm not interested in that. But
who is it?
What industry?
Can't tell you.
Okay, do charades. We don't do a video version of this podcast.
No, I can't, mate.
Is it?
I'm actually being sued for this.
Currently?
Yeah.
Oh. Just because you slagged somebody's watch?
Yeah.
That's all you did?
I was actually saying it was something good. But anyway.
So hold on.
Let's move this on.
Okay.
No.
We'll move it on and we'll cut out what we need to if we need to. But all I'm saying is you're saying you went online and were like, this guy's a fucking great watch. Cheers, guys.
Yeah.
And then they're like, hey.
Yeah. Sue you. We'll find a way to sue you. I swear, mate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who was the first person that like got back to you or got back to you like, hey, they like this, that you got a big buzz off? You were like, that's great. Or is it that these people that you're reviewing the watches of aren't people you would necessarily know about anyway?
I'm not really cultured, right? Nowadays, I'm more cultured, but I didn't know who KSI was, right?
I think that's why the videos are so great, because... you're like off, you're discovered, you're like, who is this person? Ah. And you're reacting naturally to, right, okay, ah. So. Right.
Like the reactions, they're always natural, they're always real. If yeah. I know someone or if I don't, it is yeah. real. I don't know what I'm reacting to, right?
Yeah.
Because I don't do the presentations, the boys do that. And I don't really have a homework really to go through and yep. stuff. We just sit down and talk shite, basically, that's it. But the first time, I think this was James McVeigh, as like the Vamps, remember that?
And I was see when you said James McVeigh, I was like, no idea who that is.
No.
Don't think I don't know the Vamps.
No, but it's the Vamps. And I'm like, I don't know what to reply to him. You remember that? So I'm like, I'll text him, I'm a big fan. And he's like, you've never heard his music. I'm like, yeah, fair enough, but that doesn't matter. You yeah. see what I mean? Nowadays, yeah. we're very good friends, right?
Okay.
I don't know if I ever told him this story, but now he heard it.
Can we dance as a banger, James?
Exactly.
Fair play.
But like, there's so many big superstars now, like where we in touch with, and then like,
have you had someone be like, you know, have a friend of theirs or someone they work for be like, do his watches? Oh, that's just one of the great features about the Casio F91
W
for West.
Yeah, exactly. What is it a Westy watch now?
What does the W mean in that?
I wouldn't have a clue, mate.
Means winner.
Winners win.
Winners wear Casios. Right.
That's what he's doing wrong.
Ah!
Oh,
me and you and Lagenside in the dock.
Yeah.
We've lost it all. So, what's your favourite Vamp song?
Fuck off.
Yeah, have you had people go, you know, react to my watch and that kind of thing?
What the fuck are you talking about?
The way you would pick someone and be like, or the guys in the team would see a watch and be like, look at this. Do you ever have people prompting it?
Yes.
You know, yeah. Big stars being like, I want you to talk about my collection.
Yeah, that was... wasn't that one of the Migos at the time?
Oh, yeah.
And then he didn't like it.
Quavo?
Was it? Yeah. He died. Oh, yeah, he died.
Offset?
Oh, yeah. No, he was shot after.
It was Takeoff?
Takeoff, aye. Yeah, that was... That's fucked up, mate.
R.I.P. man, you're right.
Oh, fuck.
Jesus. That was fucked up, man. You're right.
Yeah.
I think it's great. Like, you are literally in a position where you are the watch guy.
Is it? That's mad. That's fucking mad, yeah.
To be the... In the industry, you're like, that's a guy who... Because everyone talks about watches like they know what they're talking about or has an opinion. But you're like the guy.
And that
which is wild to get to that point in the industry where like... And have the watch industry in general... I mean, like, let's call them the establishment. You know the big names.
Yeah.
Citizen.
It's all right.
Fossil. But I mean like the watch community. Have they been accepting of you? As like an industry,
it is a mix. It's a mix, but you need to be loved. You need to be hated, right? It is what it is, right? You need supporters. If you don't have, if you're not hated, you're not loved. You see what I mean? And that is in our like, I think, and I'm not. I definitely don't want to put the credits on me because without Johnny, without Gareth, we wouldn't be here today.
Yep.
Very, very simple. Without the team that we have around me, like I'm just a face. And I just talk shade, but without their creativity, the videos wouldn't have gone as far and we wouldn't be where we are today. And traveling all over the world, being recognized all over the world, being in Shanghai and being constantly recognized, mate, that is fucking China.
Yeah.
That is the most bizarre thing I've ever experienced.
You said China like Trump says it. Yeah. And I like that. China.
China. China.
Has Trump, have you ever done Trump's watches? Does he have watches?
Yes. And we've got in touch with also something I can't really discuss, but he loves his watches, you know. Yeah.
So what was the first time that you got recognized? What was the first time you had someone come up to you, even in Belfast or whatever, and be like, I've seen your videos?
I think it's London.
Oh, like, okay.
Belfast people don't really care, you know. That's actually, but that's Belfast. Belfast is normal.
It's more of a quiet nod.
Aye, you see? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
In London, it's chaos, man.
Right.
And chaos. In America, it's chaos.
Yeah.
It's Germany, not so much. And I've really tried to be anonymous in the Netherlands. So I don't do any Dutch podcasts.
By the way, that's such a tongue twister. Anonymous in the Netherlands?
Yeah.
Say it five times.
You tried first.
Anonymous in the Netherlands.
But I just tried that, but now I feel the last couple of months it's becoming more difficult.
Yeah.
And podcasts now reaching out, and I've reached out several times, but I always try to refuse that. I feel that the people in the Netherlands are prone to more reacting negative to videos, if so or so.
That's something that when you don't have a background in it, when I see people nowadays like getting into comedy or video making, you see this, like, all the positive comments and then all that negativity, all that trolling type stuff.
Yeah.
I think I had an advantage with that because I got into comedy so young and so early.
But you're known for that. Now comes the thing. People, there's content creators here in the world that are known for nothing. So the difference is, name me any person in the world now that is big, that is famous, that is not known for anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's incorrect. So I'm known to be the watch guy. I'm known for that. So
For
me, it is now easier to use that as a as a tool to bring ourselves to the next level with content creation. But if you just want to make content creation for the sake of content creation, that's where you get hate for.
Yeah, and I think I benefit personally because I have been doing it for so long. So much of it at the start is like, you see people being like, why are you doing this? You need to stop doing these videos. Because I've been doing it for that long, they know
he's not going away. Like,
they're like, he's not going away. This wee man's been doing this for nearly two decades.
Right.
So I'm not going to talk him out of doing it. So I would say I get very proportionately, like, very little hate. And I did, like, there was time, like, I suppose when I was younger, or when Facebook was really taking off and things like that. Yeah, and it's still always going to happen. You're going to get some negative comments. But I just think I was a slow rise with comedy, so I think that helped. But when you sort of come out of nowhere and go so big, that probably you probably got so many positive comments, but then a lot of hate as well.
Yeah, so I've been taught not to look at negative comments or don't look at comments at all.
Yeah, but taught to. So what about at the start when you first see it? Because you're totally unprepared.
And no, in the start, I just didn't read it because I listened. Now I do. And that is sometimes, I think the whole journey with YouTube and fame, it's a mind fuck. It's an addiction. Getting attention, because I felt like back in the day, I never received attention. Now I get attention and now it's a drug. It's the most, it's amazing. It feels amazing. You don't want to let go on that. And I mean, you have shit videos all of a sudden, or videos don't do as well. Then that fucks up your mind, right? Career is over, or YouTube is over. It is really, it's fucking hardcore. It's tough. I've recently went through a span like that. It's just ups and downs, right? But the comments, nowadays.
Sorry, does it go that extreme where you're like, couple of ones that maybe don't hit as hard as you want or whatever, is your reaction not like, I'm done?
Yeah.
As in like,
oh yeah,
this is over?
Oh yeah, and then Johnny says, hold on a minute, we're not dead here. Like that is like Johnny doesn't really raises his voice, but at that moment, remember that you raised your voice and like, we're not fucking dead here. You need to wise up.
Put it on a t-shirt. but isn't it funny how, for you, your barometer, the video that, you know, that you're like, you know, this is not hit at all, this is not popular, the numbers of that, imagine when you're starting out, or anyone else would kill to be at that number you think is nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? But I know what you mean. It's hard to tell yourself that sometimes.
It is very tough. But then the negative comments, like, I'm an emotional type of person, right? And I take things to heart. But like, I've struggled with that. And sometimes when I don't feel mentally well or whatever, there's something going on, I read sometimes read these comments and it doesn't really help, because
yeah,
there's 100 positive comments, but you highlight that one negative one, you know.
Yeah.
Now, we recently recently were joined with a YouTube analyst, which we which joined our team, and he said we're going to target these videos at a newer audience. This new audience doesn't know who you are, so be aware your comments are going to be 50% negative.
Right.
And damn, he was right. It was 60%, but whatever. But that's because this newer audience where we were doing a new type of video with,
yes,
wasn't aware, don't know who I am, so... it is about the whole, the 40% or the 50% of people that do like it. That's, yeah, a new audience. We've seen a spike in subscribers again.
So, one of the first negative comments I ever got on a video was on Facebook. And it said, like, and there's some good comments in there, you know, this is like 15 years ago or something. You know, like, oh, mate, nice one, thumbs up. And then there was just one that said, wanker hair. And it lived rent-free in my head for about 5 years.
I couldn't
get over it. I've never heard it. It's not like a well-known common phrase, and it just really like fucked on my head.
Wanker hair.
Yeah, I was straight to the barber's. Like, I was like, and then he cut my hair, and I was like, oh, this still feels like wanker hair. You know, I don't know. But it's funny how like the negative stuff that does jump out at you.
It's
like,
always, you have 100 positive comments.
You have a lazy eye. You know, dude. And I found out I did. I do like in a.
Oh, mate.
That's why I keep my head slightly. No, I shouldn't be telling anyone this because you'll know now. But no, you can compensate a lazy eye by just doing this.
What is a lazy eye?
it's basically
genuine,
like,
question.
Okay, so my two eyes aren't like the see one eyes. One's looking at you. One's looking for you. Do you know what I mean? Like. They're not symmetrical. My eyes aren't symmetrical. I shouldn't have pointed it out. One eye's kind of like lower than the other one. Not by much, all right? Still
like,
an eight.
Like two, 1 degree or something.
5, I'd say. It's not that noticeable, and I shouldn't have said anything, but if you look for it, it's there. But you'd have to really be looking for it. Don't look for it.
But is your
Stop
is
looking
your,
at me, Nico.
Is your vision then fucked, or what's the crack?
Nah, no, it's nothing to do with vision. It's purely a aesthetic, superficial kind of thing. You know, but at least they've got wanker here.
So I have lazy balls then, because one is lower than the other.
Is it?
Aye.
Really?
Yeah. See, yeah, I swear.
My balls aren't that low.
Yeah, it is.
So I think when I'm an old man, and my and your balls get kind of like lower, I think mine will just be the standard, like hang.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But I'm glad that they're not. They don't hang as low. I'm glad. Because that's not... No, it's an open target.
I need to see a doctor.
Like, traveling... Like, fucking your Instagram's great. Like, you just show the places you're traveling to, the experiences you're getting. What was the first time, like, one of your passions linked up with something you got, like, invited to or whatever? You know, because you probably get invited to a load of events or come over and do this. But what was the first time you got to go to something? You're like, I'd love to have gone to this anyway.
Yeah. I think F1. I think after our F1 video, I got to meet Lando Norris, spent some time with a good friend of mine who I met in Dubai, Simon Wilson, a good big YouTuber, does travel stuff. Fantastic guy. And like, we were supposed to do something in America, but I didn't have the time. He's now in America doing the...
He's Welsh, is he?
He's Welsh. Yeah,
yeah.
He's a great guy.
Yeah.
I think that was really special doing at F1. Not that I was passionate about F1, but I thought like that's where we saw that a video actually made a big impact.
Yeah.
And Lando Norris reshared that, and I got to meet him, and I speak to him now on a regular basis, which is really cool. I think football is one of my passions. Cars is one of my passions, right? And being able to, not that I'm a Man United fan, but like going to Man United, like meeting the players and. But like, I was used to that football type of thing anyway because of Northern Ireland. Because when Northern Ireland squad was here, I was in a hotel like I was at Chris's
right.
shop.
Yep.
And whenever Gareth McCauley retired, and you had Stu and Josh were still there, and Davo, and then Jamie Ward was gone, and then it just became less and less, and now it's just a young group that I barely know, bar Josh.
I'm the same. I was doing a lot of like video content with them, and then I kind of just
We were always at the Culloden, mate. It was great fun.
Yeah.
But like...
Would you get a footballer when you're hanging out like that? Just be like, listen, just on a whim, being like, I'm thinking about that, you know. Make a decision then and there.
I remember a story about Josh. Like, the boys were winding Josh up because he was wearing a fake AP and he didn't have a real watch.
Right. I actually bought mine off him.
No. It was a black diamond.
I customed it.
You see? But the boys were winding him up and then Josh bought his first watch.
Right.
And that was cool. It was a Milkhouse. Because the boys, Gareth, Yuji, Aaron, everyone was winding him up.
Yeah.
Laughs at the time. And he bought his first watch.
But I just love that, like, because so many big artists are coming over to Belfast now that wouldn't have 5-10 years ago.
Yeah.
But they hear good reports. Belfast is becoming, like, a far better city for people to visit. Yeah. So, like,
we started Belfast is up the rise, like, I mean.
Oh, massively, yeah. Right. We started talking before this, and then I was like, no, save it for the podcast because I want to hear about it. I've become a huge country fan in, like, the last 2-3 months since I started watching Yellowstone. Right, it's affecting everything, the way I dress, the way, not today.
You need, like, to explain, what is Yellowstone?
Yellowstone, Kevin Costner, it's a country and western type drama TV series.
All right.
Incredible, right? It's so good. And it's kind of got me into
Netflix
country music.
Or
on Prime.
Prime.
On Channel 5. It's on Paramount, but you can get Paramount through Prime if you want. Or you can use the separate Paramount app.
Is there a dodgy box that I can use? Because this is very complicated.
If you want dodgy boxes, you can get a free trial with Paramount.
Oh yes.
So you could try that, see if you like Yellowstone. If you don't, cancel the trial, right? But don't worry about that.
Do you need to leave your credit card details though?
Yeah.
That's where they fuck you.
Yeah. So I love Yellowstone, but it's got me into, it's a gateway for country music. Now I'm listening to country music. I like it. Luke Combs, I heard people talking about him for like a couple of years, and then I was like, I need to see what this is about. And he's great. He comes over to Belfast, sells out the arena, and then you're hanging out with him on the day of the show.
Yeah.
Did he buy a watch, or was he just fucking, he bought one?
Yeah.
Do you think he's doing that in like lots of cities?
Yeah, he does.
To build a big collection?
Yeah. Yeah.
What did he buy off you? Can you say?
Not in particular, but I can say what, like, I put a brand on. So I gave him a watch as well. I gave him a Zodiac, which is, I think, a really cool watch brand. And I wanted him and his manager for his PA. They've been together since childhood, and we have had in-depth conversations about the sentimental value of watches.
Yeah.
And he was wearing, so Luke bought his assistant a nice watch back in the day. And I was like, you know what? What if we get them both the same watch? They can, and they'll never forget Belfast and whatever,
yep.
Right? It was green and orange to get both sides. Bezel, long story. The bezel was green and orange.
Oh, okay.
So I thought it was funny. The humor that I only get, clearly.
Oh, no, because in my head, I was forgetting. I was like, if there's white in that, that's only one side. But like, but I'm now realizing what you mean.
So I thought it was funny. Back, I did make a comment about that. I don't know if we're going to publish that, but whatever. But I gave him a watch. He wore that at the gig.
At the show.
It was fantastic. It was really cool to see. And I bought another watch the day after in London as well. So it's just really cool. Like, this is just an enthusiast about watches. And I wasn't aware who Luke Combs was until we made a video about him. And then he reached out. He's like,
that's amazing.
So many people DM'd me. And of course I'm in. And he came to Belfast, met up in the office, played pool, and just had fun. And he's a great guy.
And it's like you were saying earlier, it's that common ground.
Yeah.
You don't know this guy. He's American. He's a superstar. You're doing your thing. But you can instantly hit it off because you have this shared love of...
Watches, and then you realise, okay, he has two young kids. I have a young kid and another one on the way, right? Very young, and you do realise that there's a lot of things in common. He started on Vine.
Right.
He started on social media. He wasn't discovered by the normal routes.
Never knew that.
And you have a lot of things in common, and I'm he's such a good, we have mutual friends,
right?
And
right.
Joshua Wiseman, which is one of my closest mates, a YouTube chef. He's two times New York Times bestseller in every category with a cookbook. No right. one has ever done that,
right?
Like, it's just really funny how small that world is.
I really like what you say about like the sentimentality.
Yeah, the fuck up.
Is
now
it?
My head is
that a word?
Yeah. No, the sentimental value.
I love that, and you've always been an advocate of that and always. Said that. And that, you know, I'm sure there's watch experts and people in your position who would, you know, basically be like, you know, you got to have an expensive watch because they want to sell watches. That's what your business is. But you've always been like, if it's important to you, then it's priceless. And that always stuck with me. I always really, I think that's the authenticity that you have. And that's why, like, you know, yeah, I if there's a watch I like, that's why I'm like, I don't care how much it costs. Aye. I just like it, you
if
know?
It's not more than 40 quid.
I got given.
You must have spent more on that fake AP, mate.
We spent 70 on that.
Wow.
Yeah. You interested? I mean, we spent more than that. I'd be so bad at watch negotiating. I was given a watch by a family member to wear like on an occasion, and I hated the watch, and I didn't wear it. Can I tell you what?
Yeah.
Kind of watch it was.
Yeah.
It wasn't nothing to do with the brand. I don't care about any brand. If I like it, I'll wear it. But it was a Slazenger watch.
The tennis ball brand.
Yeah. They do watches too.
Yeah, oh. Jesus Christ.
I was like, I'm so sorry. I appreciate the sentimental nature of this, and I'll keep and treasure this, but I will not have it on my arm.
Ever.
Ever. Although if Slazenger see this and DM me and they're like, will you become the face of our watches? Like, yeah, I will.
Yeah. Money talks, you yeah, know. Money oh, yeah. talks. You see, that's the difference.
What would my brand be? Say watch companies come to you and they say, listen, Shane Todd needs to be the face of a watch brand. What's the perfect brand for me? I won't be offended, don't worry. What do you set me up with? I also won't get it if you say something that's really bad. I won't.
No. I think because you're very understated, you're very, I think Omega.
Okay.
Omega. Because Omega doesn't try to be over the top.
I've always said that.
And usually people that have Omega don't buy Rolex because they hate it.
Yep.
And Tech Heuer tries to be something that they're not. Longines, maybe.
Longines?
Yeah,
Longines. Imagine me saying that, man.
Longines. It's all about time.
I take any of those.
It's all about time.
I want you to come back and podcast again because there's so much I want to talk to you about. But what's like, as a final question, what's like the next thing you have your eye on in terms of like, are you gonna like open a shop in a different place, or is so much of it online? And I also want to ask you, so I've got to ask you two questions at once that are not linked in any way, and it'd be really confusing. But has becoming a dad changed the way you approach business?
Yes.
To which one? Although right. You said yes, so that...
Dumb. Let's talk about that, being a dad, right? Because you've experienced the same. You're a bit further than me at the moment. It changed me massively, and I don't... A friend of mine once made this comment, you'll never make more money than the moment you become a father, because then you all of a sudden start making wise decisions. But I got to where I am now by making ludicrous decisions, mm-hmm. right? So I recently really got to me, and I was like, I am just overthinking every decision I'm making. I wasn't like that. I've never been like that. It got me into many times into shit, but it also brought me to where I am now. So what is wise? I still am trying to figure that one out. Is it the best thing in the world? Yes. I always thought that people said that for a reason, because there's no way back, right? It is what it is.
Yep.
Being a dad is the best thing in the world. Yeah, you only say that because you...
Yeah.
You're fucked now anyway. Yeah. So you see what I mean? But it genuinely is.
Yeah.
I'm fucked. No. It is. It changed me as a person significantly. But I'm still trying to figure out if I'm what the right decision is. A lot of times, I'm just overthinking a lot of things. And
yeah.
We got to where we are today by not overthinking, but doing it.
Yeah.
And we'll figure it out. We'll deal with the consequences later. We never ask for permission. We rather apologize.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was always my attitude. So the last couple of weeks, I'm starting to get back into that old Nico habit, stupid stuff again. Yeah. So that is, it has changed me, definitely. The first question, so the last answer. Yeah, doesn't make any sense, does it?
But hey, let's not overthink it.
Yeah, exactly.
We can answer it whatever exactly. We want.
Yes, I have the ambition to grow with the business, but I also need to figure out where we want to grow. So we're market leaders on the island of Ireland. We're in the top five in the UK, and we do unbelievably well. But we're able to control it today, right? And we can make changes today. I do not think that our foundation is good enough for us to expand yet, because our systems are not good enough. And as soon as we have that under control, and I think that will take us another year, I think we're ready for expansion. We've had the option several times. I've always declined it. I've had an offer over 10 million on the company at the time.
Take it.
I didn't. No, fuck that.
Get in touch with him.
All right.
Take it.
An Australian guy, nice guy, flew over. Private jet, all sorts. It was mad crazy.
Yeah.
didn't do that. Didn't go that way because it wasn't right. Because this is legacy stuff. This is not about money.
Mm-hmm.
But you're damn right, I can do it a few quid, like, but.
Take it.
No, mate. We'll take the big fish at the end of the journey.
It's a big old fish.
It's a hell of a big tuna. That's a big fatty
it's
tuna.
It's crazy how if someone dangled 50 grand in front of me, I'd be like, take the legacy. Take the legacy.
Listen, a couple of years ago.
I know exactly what you mean. But not really.
To be fair, let me explain, right? To be fair, whenever that situation was there, we did accept it. Then we went into terms, solicitors done their jobs, and Stephen and I kept on talking. Stephen's like, is this the right thing? And I don't know. Right? It's something like, and he's like, we just, no, it wasn't right.
Yeah. But you're, it's like, I remember not that long ago, like, my job is such a weird job, and I remember friends of mine being like, and this is...
I have one question for you, by the way. This is an important one, right? I find it very difficult to start filming. Whenever I'm filming, I'm all right. But fucking starting, I struggle with that. Do you ever have that on stage? Or you just literally, I'm just like, I'm just walking.
It's so hard to open a show. Yeah.
It is bizarre, mate.
Listen to how I'm my voice went there. It's just about to burst into tears thinking about it. I mean, it really depends on, like, the crowd. There's sometimes you walk on, you're firing straight away. But, yeah, you like getting... And also that point of getting into it, that your first bit is what they're going to judge you on.
Aye.
The first thing you say is going to set the tone for the whole rest of the show. So it's the most difficult part. Because then you're cruising and everything's easy. But sometimes you go into what we call, like, a hot room. So if you go do Lavery's Comedy Club and everyone's killing, you just go on, you just start, it's no problem. But if you go on in a room where there's like nothing really happening, it's really difficult to just, get it going. But I think that's the same with like anything.
I find it so difficult still after 2.5-3 years to start filming. It's like often we say, we'll start filming at 11. I start filming at 3, mate.
Right. Some people work better in the evening. I know people who do podcasts and they're like after 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night. It's my worst nightmare.
This is what we've worked always in the evenings, and then I don't know why we switched office hours, maybe because it didn't suit anyone bar me.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Was filmed in your house?
It was in the beginning, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Not anymore. Now we have it's all right. It's a nice studio, like.
Yeah.
I need to come and see it, like pool table.
I'd love to, yeah.
We have a full bar. Proper.
That's a bit like who takes you up on it. It's a bit like, remember there was a big, I don't know if they're still doing it, but you go into a bar. There was a long time where local barbers, it all started with a bottle of beer. wee fridge or a wee bottles of beer. Then it turned into whiskey in the fielder. Who's getting the two back and sides with a bottle of Corona and a Jameson? That's a weird look. But who goes? Is it more for like it's there if you want it? But are people coming in being like I'm interested in a watch, but I'm more interested in the cosmetics?
No, it's more that we want to get smashed on Friday night,
right?
And
fair
it's
enough.
Easy. Otherwise,
oh, for you guys when you're filming, that makes way more sense. Like in the shop,
it's more a Friday night. You know, no, it's nice to have people over, have a drink, but
yeah.
We wanted the place because the studio is also in our main office with the business.
Yeah,
we just wanted to build an environment which people enjoy, you know.
And
that's the key, and I love to drink, so.
And
I'm an alcoholic.
Last thing is
not even embarrassed about it.
What's
wrong? What are you laughing?
What's funny is if this was anywhere else in the world, the podcast would switch and it would be like, man, we need to talk through this. But I want to know.
52 shots of tequila there on the boat from the Netherlands. 52 shots. What was with my mate? 52 shots of tequila each.
I would be dead. I would be dead.
It's fantastic.
Two pints of Carlsberg on the Stenaline once. Each.
Yeah, that's 2.5 hours. That's 2.5 hours.
So I want to ask you this. Are you getting offered like a lot of mainstream stuff? For example, are like local TV companies coming to you and being like, we want you to do this series on your love of watches? Are, you know, American companies being like this and that? What's something you've like, you were like, thought about and then just didn't do? And do you not want to do any of that stuff?
Nothing really that I didn't do. It fell through. We were going to do a TV show with Kevin Hart, with Heartbeat Productions.
I know Kev.
He's a good lad, eh?
I never met him.
No?
22
No,
shows.
He ran off stage every time you guys, was it not with Colin?
Yeah, I was the guy chasing him.
That is
we met him at the, I do stand up, I don't know, we met him at the arena shows at the end. So 22 shows, didn't meet him. And then the arena shows, got to meet him, lovely guy.
Right. So, like, I never got to meet him in that way either. So in Belfast, right, because that was supposed to... I'm actually fucking raging about this because Wayne is right on, man. Every time Kev, this is all of a sudden we jump in a different story. Every time Kevin makes a movie, he buys a watch.
Right.
It was here, and I advised that he wanted to have a 5711 Rose, and I advised Wayne is right on, man, not to buy that watch for on grey market. Right. We can get this sorted with an authorized dealer for him, for Kevin, which was going to be 150 grand cheaper. That's doing.
And I was not grand gone. Cheaper?
Yes. Cheaper. So
what's the retail at? Roughly?
The retail was about 112, 113 sterling, I think, at the time, yeah. But the watch was going over 3 times retail, right? So that was extreme. So I said, don't do this.
Yeah.
When I was going 2 times retail. I don't do this. And I'm like, I can sort you out now tomorrow. You'll have them tomorrow.
Yeah.
But clearly they misinformed Kevin because there's always people there who want to make money in between. So he did buy the watch, but not from us. He bought this from a guy and flew him over from Hong Kong. I was raging. I could have sold that watch, not myself, not my as a business, but I gave him the advice not to buy this via a grey market. I can sort him out using authorized channels and save him $150,000. But of course, I was a bit raging. But
I mean,
talk about TV show.
The idea of saving could have saved 150 grand. I was in Marksy's recently and couldn't find my Sparks card and was sweating. And I literally buying fucking mandarin oranges and almond milk. And I was like, I'm paying full whack for this when I could be saving.
Exactly.
15% or something. Like
if you were struggling that much, you would go to Tesco, you shite hog. Right.
I will point out it's the wee M&S when you come out of the international airport. Which I love. I love that it's there.
Yeah?
You get a wee treat for the way home or something. Wee mandarin orange and a carton almond.
Not Percy Pigs, no.
I did buy a packet of Percy
Pigs. Ah, there you go. So, but...
my Achilles heel.
That's why I'm fat.
Yeah.
Just saying. We were supposed to do a TV show and produced by Michael Sugar, which won an Oscar with Spotlight. Nice guy, like proper, big time. We had interviews and pitches with Apple, Discovery Channel, some other things. Two wanted to go ahead, but then one of the characters was an absolute mad balloon. So the whole format was thrown
fell
out.
Through.
And Kevin also made the comment, and so like, because they were all...
My Kevin?
No, Kevin Hart. Yeah, you're Kevin. I made this comment, there's four white watch dealers here, we need a black dude. Right, and completely, yeah, I mean, that shows diversity, but that was one of the points as well.
Right.
So there were a lot of things, and it just, with COVID, it was just difficult to pitch as well because it was all via Zoom.
Right.
And I'm sad that it didn't work out because that would have done unbelievable for our businesses and for the industry as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not too fussed about that stuff anymore.
I'll get on board.
You'll do it. We'll teach you how to deal with
it. Kevin's long gone from here.
Exactly.
It's just, I'm the captain.
Who's the daddy now?
Me.
Who's the daddy now?
I have a budget. It's 700 quid. We're going to make a show.
Done.
It's going to be great. I you deserve like every success. And I think that...
Appreciate that.
You know, you're talking about like being a foreigner and moving here, but you're very much like... here not
this
you
is
know?
My country
yeah. Well that's quite you're just taking it all there. I was offering you like a little bit of it, you know. I'm offering you an acre in Ballymena, you know, that's it. I think it's great that you're based here and love everything you do.
I appreciate that.
Thank you for coming on the podcast and come back again. And
yeah, I'll come play pool. I'm the corner, mate.
I'm pretty good at pool.
Yeah,
sometimes
I will absolutely whatever.
Are you good at pool?
Some say no, don't believe them.
You put a watch up, I'll put a watch up and we'll play.
Done.
You pick done. Any of those, apart from this, the clear one, which I love. Nico, thank you very much, mate.
Thank you for having me, mate. Appreciate it.
Sipper, God love you. If you've made it all the way through this episode, that means you love Tea With Me, you love this podcast, or it means like you've drifted off and you've just left this on play. Either way, what you need to do is head over to our Patreon. If you enjoy the podcast and you want more tea, that's where you go. We do a bonus episode called The Special Brew every Monday and a live stream podcast every Friday with some of your favorite comedians. You can chat, interact, ask questions. When we announce live podcasts, you get early access to tickets with a little bit of a discount on there. And there is so much more. You can go back and watch, I think, nearly 1,000 hours of content. Tea With Me Patreon, which is patreon.com/teawithmepodcast. The link is in the description. I'll see you there.